And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit.
Plus minus.
That is a word right there.
I didn't remember what said. What'd you say?
Fluffle.
Plus minus.
Yeah, like you, Marcus Thompson.
Marcus always tell the truth. Plus minus.
The only thing that I would say to Ethan Strauss is that he's a pretty damn good reporter. He's well
plus
respected.
Minus. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast, where we have some stuff to talk about. Really, from here to what, forevermore? Really, I mean, this is about to get revved up. We got a tornado coming. It is draft night is about a week away right now. November 18th, free agency November 20th. What a turnaround that's going to be. Camp December 1st, and then the season December 22nd. Like, this thing's really going to get going.
If you're playing all the way through the finals, that's a fast turnaround. I think for everyone else, though, like the Warriors, it's not terrible.
Not quite a fast turnaround. Today, as we're talking November 10th, is the eight-month mark exactly of their last game, March 10th.
You know, it does seem fast. It does seem, you know, everything's kind of squeezed into it. But how else were they going to start in, you know, by Christmas? And so many of these teams have just been sitting around waiting for things to go. Even the teams that were in the bubble, you know, if you got eliminated, if you didn't make the playoffs or you're eliminating the first round, it's been a couple months. So, you know, teams like Slater covers, the Lakers, it's a quick turnaround. But for everyone else, I think we're kind of looking forward. You know, teams are looking forward. They're going to complain, right? Teams always complain. Ethan's basketball ops people are going to complain no matter what. But, hey, how else are you going to do it? You got to get people signed before you're going to camp. And they're going to camp in December 1, so this thing's got to go fast.
Yeah, let's be real. The Warriors haven't played an actual game since October. I mean, they've gone through a
since
long
Aaron
slog.
Since Aaron Baines came down on Steph's hand, yes. Basically.
November 4th, was it?
It has been G League player development for a solid year. And so there is this weird juxtaposition where for the Lakers, it's the fastest turnaround imaginable. But for the Warriors, they've been in the wilderness for so long, and it is about damn time. And look, part of me wishes that for the first time ever, selfishly, Christmas would not be interrupted by the NBA and you could spend some time with family and whatnot.
Interrupted? What?
I mean, what? It is per the tradition. But the NBA can't do that. They can't do that. They just can't. They're in a situation where you can't jettison
you
all that.
You don't
want
to hang around your family anyway. Don't act like you don't use Christmas Day games as a way to get out of family. Come on.
Hey, don't project your situation.
That's what I do.
Mine.
It's not a problem. I admit mine. Absolutely. Spend a couple hours. I got to go. Things to do.
But the NBA can't do that. It's not just the TV money. I think it's also giving up the territory to the NFL to make Christmas Day a full NFL day in a situation where the NFL is moving games around, and who knows, maybe they want to move a few onto Christmas Day since they have games they're shuffling around. The NBA can't afford to do that. They needed to come back. It had to happen whether these teams complain or not.
Slater, can I put on the record that I want Christmas Day games? Let's put this out here.
You want it in San Francisco, or do you want a road game that you're not going to go to so you can watch it but you don't have to drive to it?
No, I mean, I'm good either way, but, man, there's nothing like it. Like, the noon games are a little harsh, I give you that, right? But, you know, my daughter gets up early enough. But,
I don't mind waking up and tossing on Sixers Celtics as, you know.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best part.
Oh, they're not moving off of Christmas. And there will be NBA games on Christmas for as long as we are working and probably long after.
By the way, what's our guest this year? Warriors Lakers? I mean, yeah, I would say Warriors Nets.
They might go Lakers Clippers to start.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say Warriors Lakers as the featured game. The one. and build everything off of that.
Can they do that without knowing the Warriors are the Warriors, though?
If I was building the schedule, I'd be more worried about the Lakers not being the Lakers in a sense of, like, not playing early in the
LeBron
season.
LeBron might not be there. Yeah. Or LeBron might play that one and not the next 10. But I can see Warriors.
Oh, no, LeBron showing up on Christmas Day. That's for sure.
I think it's going to be Warriors-Lakers, but I would prefer it be Warriors-Nets. There's just so much more anticipation as to what are these teams? What do these guys look like?
The Durant-Warriors aspect just immediately vaults that.
But I see TNT get some of these games too. You know, we can't give them all to Christmas. And that's like a great, you know, it's a great Tuesday TNT. Everybody's been waiting for it, build up to it. It's January 20th, and Durant comes back to Chase Center. You know, like, that's what, wasn't it going to be that way last season, right? I mean, I think they set it up that way last season too. They didn't put
TNT Warriors. Get that night, that late Christmas game, right? Don't they get the 5:30 game?
Yeah, but it's not normally that level.
Can't put the Warriors on there.
It's not that level. Yeah, the big one is ABC at 2, and I can see that being Warriors-Lakers.
Yeah, but Warriors-Nets gives you more optionality because Lakers, anybody is a thing, and you can build around it. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what it would be. Maybe Heat-Lakers, right? You know, finals rematch. They like doing that.
Travel is such an issue this year, though, that I don't think there's going to be cross-conference games. I think you go Nets-Knicks, you know, Lakers, Clippers, or Lakers, Warriors. I think they keep people close to each other playing each other. Maybe in like these 3-game MLB playoff series where we get Lakers Warriors on Christmas and then December 26th we get Lakers Warriors again. There's going to be some stuff like that this year. The news I was mentioning, the salary cap officially came out. It's staying exactly the same as last year, which puts the tax line at $132.6 million. The Warriors are going to go way over that, but number two things. The concern was it might dip. It isn't dipping. And then the other big news was they are going to decrease the tax bill by the percentage that the BRI is lower than expected this year. So, I mean, the main thing is, if fans don't come back, if Chase Center isn't full this year, whatever the Warriors tax bill is will be decreased by some amount, probably a large amount, which obviously should allow the Warriors to be more aggressive than maybe expected in the next 2 weeks, really.
Yeah, and I just say, I mean, that's entirely what I expected. They were never going to have a team that planned for a certain number get destroyed by it. And it wasn't just going to be one team. It was going to be 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 teams. You sign Steph Curry to a long-term extension, you're encouraged to do that. They want teams to sign these long-term deals. And then if the budget changes by 20%, you're destroyed. They were never going to do that. And the other thing is the union was never going to allow this class of free agents to hit free agency and have $0 available. That was never going to happen. So this all makes sense. It'll be a slightly tighter market than it would have been otherwise, but not a huge, massively target. And teams that have a lot of money, the Warriors, are going to have the chance to spend this money. They'll still be taxed on it. There'll still be penalties, but it won't be this gruesome, they can't even spend it. They've got to get rid of contracts. That was never going to happen because it just doesn't make sense for the health of the sport.
But if you're like Charlotte, this was your chance to level the playing field. You know, if you're these small market teams.
There's franchises that were looking at it, but even then, they've got long-term deals. Every team's got long-term deals that they budgeted out, and you just can't say, okay, you know what, we're paying this guy $20 million, and now that's going
to
be instead.
No, but they weren't going to spend it anyway. They weren't going to come to the tax anyway, so they're like, man, we were about to be level with the Lakers. Not so much.
And you hear it with the NFL, you hear it with all salary cap leagues. Oh my God, when the revenues go down, they're all going to be destroyed. No, it's not in the team's interest to destroy themselves. It's just not. You know, they'll have to back end it. There's going to be some ways to cut down the percentages, but they'll never say this one year, this one class of free agents, or this one group of teams will be devastated by getting this drop because it hasn't been planned for. You have to allow teams to have a plan and follow a plan over multiple years. That's my spiel. And it worked out for the Warriors. So, again, they might not spend all that money, but they can. They absolutely can.
Let's be real. What's good for the Warriors right now is what's good for the NBA. They need some juice. They need the Warriors doing well. The worst thing for the NBA would be for the Warriors to peter out. I know people might say that we are biased and whatnot for obvious reasons since it's the local team, but we've seen it. They need it. It's for the league's overall health, and the owners, everybody should get together and at least realize that crippling their rival might undermine the whole operation at a point where it's very precarious.
This puts the pressure on Joe Lacob, though, because it kind of diminishes the excuse that we thought they might have in the next few weeks of like, oh, this absurd tax bill that you're going to have, potentially adding somebody into the trade exception that overall costs you, let's say, $40 million, $50 million, and you're not even going to be able to get any money in Chase Center this year. Well, that takes away that just nightmare scenario. But it's not like it's not going to be expensive for Joe Lacob to add, you know, somebody in the trade exception. This is still going to be in a, you know, crazy price team. So over the next 2 weeks, and this is going to come rapid, like I said, draft, free agency, the trade exception is expiring right away. I'm sure behind the scenes they probably calculated it all out and like what meets the threshold of using it or not. But he will now get more local criticism if he doesn't use it, I would say, than if they didn't.
As he should, because he can get loans forever. You know, they're not like these other teams. Eventually, one day when people are allowed into arenas again, the Warriors will be spectacularly profitable and they can get loans until that day to cover up the gap. And I'm no expert on finances, but I think that's pretty self-evident. So you can't throw away the rest of Steph Curry's career. That's as simple as it is. And if he doesn't spend, he should get some criticism.
You know what? And that membership money that they took, $300 million, you know, in installments, so they don't have it all, but they're getting a lot of, they're not giving that back this season. You know, that money's still there. So this is an immensely profitable team, less so, or maybe not at all for a season or two during the pandemic if there's going to be no fans. But this money's still coming. I might have this argument on a podcast with Joe Lacob soon, but I feel like it isn't losing money if it's just money that you're not making, right? That like you expected to make $200 million and you don't make $200 million. You did not lose $200 million. You lost the chance at $200 million. Losing money is when you don't have that money and you have to pay it out. So it's a different thing. I think they're set up well. Again, it has to be the right player, and Slater, you're right. I'm sure they've already gamed it out. I'm sure they've made all the calls. I think Hollinger Road or somebody, like, free agency doesn't start on the 20th. Free agency started now, right? I mean, they're making the conversations now. They're figuring out what's available.
If you're a front office that isn't tampering right now, November 20th is going to be a whirlwind for you. You're going to be, all right, ready to make a call. Wait, whoa, everybody's off the board.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and trades and, like, those things all start now or started 2 weeks ago. So all this stuff's in play. I'm sure they have an idea, and it's not going to be for anybody. They're not going to make just randomly assign, a $17.2 million exception to anybody. But they have an idea, and yeah, there is pressure on them to add something. You know, it doesn't have to be the whole thing, but add a player who helps. Add a player who helps get Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson in a better position in, you know, one of their two or three final prime years.
Plus, what happened to the money they already made? Like, where'd that go?
Oh, I'm told that went right back into the stadium, right back into the arena. You're right; that goes back into the development. But
they had to build a beautiful steakhouse right under Joe Lacob's office.
Not open yet, by the way. Not open yet. Listen, I get ownership has other things, and they have, you know, they borrowed so much money to build this arena. They did it without public financing. But why did you build it? Because you're making a lot of money on it, right? That's, you didn't build it out of civic duty. You built it because you can make a lot of money. So they have the chance, and I've said this before, you know, in a universe of teams constricting and not making a lot of money and worried, the team that decides to spend money this season is going to have an incredible advantage. And the Warriors are in that position.
Joe Lacob can be the MVP right now.
I feel like they have to. They didn't build Chase to put a sixth seed in it, you know. If it is, it's rough. Right, and I believe it is, you know, if 80% of the money comes from ticket sales, then you kind of need to ensure these ticket sales are going to be back and popping as soon as possible. The best way to do that is to put the best team on the court, not to get nervous and back off and put a mediocre team and hope it over, you know what I'm saying? Like, they built this thing for Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, so that can't change now, not if you want to get back to where you were. And it sounds like it's necessary for them to get back to where they were, and they will, but they just can't build this thing and then say, all right, we're cool with being an 8th seed. I don't think they're thinking the current roster is an 8th seed, but if you got a chance to ensure it's not, you kind of got to take that, at least in the immediate future.
Yeah, well, so what's interesting, though, is I think wider scope, they've already proven they're going to pay. I mean, they have four guys making $130 million, which is crazy. And they're not trying to sell off any of those guys. The biggest question is, right now, is that's trade exception. And like what, like I said, what's that threshold? Where I agree that I think you guys are correct on the broader conversation. They have to spend. They have to show the aggressiveness. But if we're really talking about a $50 million bill for Rudy Gay, I mean, like what... What would you advise them to do? Would you say, yes, spend all that for a seventh man? I
say trade for Drew Holiday and let it expire.
Drew Holiday doesn't fit into it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Trade for him, and he becomes that exception, and now you've basically done it.
Okay. The bridge. You're talking about the bridge. James Johnson's an even better bridge because he makes $16 million, which gives you more flexibility, but he sucks. Or he's not that good. He would probably not even...
Aggregate.
Look what happens when we don't have to deal with them in person. I mean, just we can just say it.
Yeah, I've said it about Warriors players while they were in the locker room with me, so...
Jacob Evans, here's what we think about how you've been playing.
But they better really have that deal lined up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but, you know, listen, the pick is, you know, we're talking around it, but the pick is involved with that, too, and I think they would... be very interested in moving that pick if they could get somebody that would really make a difference.
I think you got to get somebody better than Holiday, I think.
For the pick, yeah, but not just in general.
I wouldn't say better. I would say younger because I think he's really good. Yeah, he's top 35 player, but he's 30 years old. So that part I get. You know, he's
with 6'3". 1 year of team control.
Yeah, and he's 6'3", and he's not, you know, he's not a guy that, hey, there's LeBron's going hot now. Go get him, Drew. Although he guarded Durant, so
yeah, I was about
know,
to say he gave Durant. I mean, he can do a lot of things.
I'm saying, I mean, if Holiday was 28 and had 2 years left, I'd say do whatever you can to get him. But at 30 with 1 year left, yeah, then I don't know if the two is for sure. Although, you know, that Zach Lowe comment that, you know, the Warriors seem to be valuing that Timberwolves pick more than this year's pick, which I agree with. And in fact, I mean, I think Ethan said it over and over again. It is more valuable. But just for him to say that means it's out there and that they could trade this pick easily. You know, again, Holiday is borderline to not. But there might be somebody that we don't even know about that might be available for that too.
I'm in favor more so of trading the 2021 pick because it is that shiny
value,
object.
For the value.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's that shiny object, and you're waiting a full more year for that player to come in and help your core, which is aging. So it seems to me like it's the more logical pick to trade. And then, look, you grimace and you take your shot and you hope that you're right in this draft that people are very uncertain about. But it seems as though you just can't get great value trading a top five pick in 2020 like you can in 2021. And at the end of it all, I mean, you wonder if the bloom comes off the rose a bit. Everybody thinks that all these guys in the lottery, these athletic wings in 2021, are the next superstar, but we haven't seen them in any kind of competitive setting. So eventually, if we start seeing that, you might see a lot of guys people thought were good, aren't that good. It seems like the value of the 2021 draft might be at its peak, is what I'm saying.
And you even know what the pick is, by the way. I mean, you know, the Timberwolves might end up with the 11th worst record, and it's not that great a pick, by the way.
I'm glad you guys made that point because that's where I was going to go with it. I understand the idea of floating out there that look at this value, like, you know, look at next year's draft. But what is more likely, that the Warriors get somebody at two, let's say Wiseman, let's say Edwards, whoever you want to say, it becomes an all-star? Or would you right now bank on wherever that Minnesota pick lands that they find someone that's going to become an all-star? First of all, they cannot get a top three pick in next year's draft. If Minnesota gets that, it's protected.
That protection's huge in terms of the pick's value. And you wonder if that was just this game of chicken between Grissom Rosas and Bob Myers, where the idea that it cannot be Cunningham, that it can't be. You are not getting Cade Cunningham. It is not happening. There is no
Slater's chance already got Slater's already got him. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he's Oklahoma State.
I'm actually wearing an Oklahoma State sweatshirt right now. I believe they tip off in 2 weeks at Arlington.
Unless there's some crazy scenario where Cunningham's agent says he will intentionally injure himself if you pick him and don't let him be drafted by the Warriors.
I'll map the path out to Cade Cunningham right now. He has such a terrific time in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He says, you know what? I'm going to stay for my sophomore year. And the Wolves get a top three pick, so that gets pushed to 2022 when Cade Cunningham would be the number one pick, because it does become an unprotected pick if the Wolves don't convey it.
We will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
It's interesting. I mean, maybe I just tripped on this. Maybe the Zach Lowe thing is the Warriors trying to get interest in that 2021 pick. If they like where they're at two, and they think it's Wiseman, which we all think, or whoever, and then you can add a veteran by not trading the two, you get out of that question mark, 2021 pick with Minnesota, and you move it for, I don't know, I mean, somebody better than Jrue Holiday. That's not terrible. That is not terrible. That's not a terrible combination. Now, again, I can't tell you who that player would be, but I mean, Ben Simmons, I don't guess it won't be Ben Simmons, but that level of player.
That would be like one workout changing the whole tenor of how they was approaching this, because it wasn't that long ago the next year's pick was everything, and it was the greatest pick of all time. It was
the future of the franchise. That's it. That's it. That's our next great player. Yep.
Now it's like, yeah, we kind of like the two this year.
The basketball world is all about 2021, and it's unusual. Like, the amount of athletic wing talent in 2021, the way it's talked about, it isn't a usual circumstance. And I was just saying, hey, maybe the bloom will come off the rose, but I'm also here to say that the rose is very rosy right now to GMs across the league.
Steph could just get another hand injury in December 25th, and the Warriors tank this season, and then you get Wiseman with it too. You get the young veteran you trade for already, and then their own pick is in 1, 2, and 3.
That's the way to get Cade Cunningham is you tank this season. That's
Bob Myers does the process, and yeah, I'm sure that would really go over well at Chase Center too. By the way. another 15-50 season.
Speaking of Wiseman.
There's a better than 50% chance that pick is between like 8 and 14, though. I mean, that it would be threading such a needle.
You know what? I think they kind of stink, man. I don't know.
Well, then it's potentially 1 through 3, and you know what? It's such a needle to thread because of the
protection. I really think that like the Timberwolves history suggests that it's like between 4 and 10. You know, that's Timberwolfy to my mind.
They're about to add the first overall pick to, you know, obviously Towns and Russell. I think they'll win 30-something games. Well, I guess it's a 72-game season, so that takes on a different meaning. I don't know what.
A prorated 30-something.
Yeah, prorated. Games. There you go. Marcus, you were about to mention James Wiseman.
I love draft rumors. So Rod Beard of the Detroit News is reporting the Hornets are trying to trade up to number one to get James Wiseman, which the Wolves would do because they could get whoever they want at number three. That would be an interesting scenario if somebody jumps ahead and grabs James Wiseman. I think they'd like it if they did it Edwards. Somebody jumped and grabbed Edwards.
If you're Wiseman's agent, don't you maybe go, yeah, he might develop tendonitis and it's going to be hard for him to come into camp. You know,
just slaying the Timberwolves, Ethan. You consistently
I'm talking about the Hornets.
The Timberwolves and the Hornets.
I'm saying the Hornets. I'm saying if you're James Wiseman's agent, and I don't know what he wants necessarily, but I'd imagine that he would prefer the Warriors to the Hornets. And you wonder if it's one of those circumstances, and agents do this, it's been done with Porzingis and some other players, where it's suggested, hey, don't do that.
Steph Curry might have done that, by the way.
It's one thing if the Wolves pick him, but we're not going to go with any of this.
Begging Larry Riley, please don't draft.
Not do this. I could see that. I don't know what Charlotte, you know, is there a huge value for them to get for go from 3-1? We've all reported, maybe it's our fault because we're all pretty consistent thinking that Wiseman is a logical Warriors pick. So maybe that's what moves Charlotte to have to move from 3-1. I would think they would have thought that anyway. But I don't know. What are you really giving up to do that? I mean, say you get LaMelo Ball at 3, isn't that not terrible for them? And you go find a center another way? Unless Wiseman's really that good. You know, there's all kinds of little machinations there, but I think it's probably not going to happen that way. I don't know. It just seems like they don't have what it takes to move from 3-1, or if they did, it's too much to give up to get James Wiseman. It just seems natural to me at Wiseman at 2. Maybe I'm just talking myself into this too much.
Let's kind of broaden it out and look at some of the draft scenarios, and I guess you can call it a mini draft preview, but it seems pretty clear in the weeks leading up that a draft that we didn't think had tiers in the lottery has kind of created some tiers where it seems like everyone pretty much agrees that the top three is the top three in whatever order, with Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, which means even if the Warriors like Avija, that he probably wouldn't fit at 2. Maybe that's a trade back to John Hollinger floated an interesting trade idea with trade with Chicago at 4 and Wendell Carter. You flip Wendell Carter and Kevon Looney and you flip 2 and 4.
That's not a bad trade. For the Warriors.
It's a good trade for the Warriors. I was like, well, Chicago must really like Edwards or Ball. Who do we want to start with? I want somebody to take the argument for each one of these top three. Who wants to make the argument for why the Warriors at 2 should take LaMelo Ball?
Okay, I'll try. I'm taking a crack at it.
Go ahead, Ethan.
Even though
you hate Ball.
My crack at it is this. He has the most trade value if he pops. If you think the Warriors need to make a trade eventually because they need to get everybody in on that timeline, everybody needs to line up the latter prime timeline of the core of the Warriors. If LaMelo Ball pops, and he will be helped by all that spacing, by being flanked by Steph Curry, by being flanked by Klay Thompson, if he shows out and he's just racking up assists and he has that star quality that, frankly, the other players in this draft, at least right now, don't appear to have, then you could get a whole lot for him if you make that difficult decision. I think that's the best argument for taking him, all things equal.
Marcus, you sound like you wanted to back that up.
That's actually a good point. For some reason, I mean, because he's good, but people just are really high on his sheer talent, right? Just raw ability in an age where we just watched Tyler Hero look great in the playoffs, right? And we just watched some of these younger guys produce at levels above what you expect. I think it helped make people say, well, man, LaMelo, he's kind of got that kind of skill. So I think the case for LaMelo would be you put this dude with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and if his shot has any, like, workability, you might have your next star guard. And I do think that's important for the Warriors. I do think in how they play and who they are, the, like, ethos of the team, like, you need a star guard. I mean, as much as they need it, they could use a big man. Like, this is who they are. And at some point, they'll need somebody who can kind of captivate the crowd. I do think they need to find that next star. And, you know, obviously, you get one who's already established, fine. But if you're looking at who Warriors fans might fall in love with and go crazy again for, it might be the dude who can, like, add some extra to the game. And not a guy like, I don't know. I don't know if Edwards has that. And Wiseman, big men just don't have it.
Yeah, big men never have. I mean,
well, they don't have it.
It's a little dangerous to do this, but okay, give me a LaMelo Ball comp. At top end, what is he?
Jason Kidd, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's not that Ricky Rubio, I'd say Ginobili maybe a little bit. I don't know. Like, you know, somebody kind of slithers inside the lane a little bit.
Much more of an aggressive three-point shooter, which if he becomes 40%.
Ricky Rubio with a step back.
But certainly not the defense of Rubio, though. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. We didn't know Rubio had that defense. This is where I push back though. Like, we're talking about a 19-year-old, and we have the walking evidence of a dude we never thought we'd saw Steph Curry become this. Like you're comparing who he is right now at 19 to a 25-year-old. Like, we just don't know. If you're a front office, you have to have some type of confidence in your ability to develop. Otherwise, what are you doing? You can only take ready now players.
Who have the Warriors developed, by the way, lately?
They haven't had a top pick.
You think they don't have confidence though? Draymond Green.
That was in 2013 or whatever that was.
Let's do the scouting report. Okay, so LaMelo, great in passing lane. He knows where plays are going. He's good at getting steals. The issue, though, and I don't know if we want to chalk this up to him being 19 or what, is that he just takes entire possessions off where he puts his hands on his knees and doesn't care, which has me concerned about him and why I'm not
which
as
is every
high
NBA
on him.
Star.
No, not to this degree. No, I when I say hands on knees, I'm not talking metaphorically.
Is that not why you rip Westbrook and Harden?
No. I'm not talking metaphorically. I'm talking literally on possessions. He'll just put his hands on his knees and not even participate in the play. You don't tend to see that, really. And this is not in a Westbrook 75 games or however much he's playing season. This is in the Australian League where they barely ever play. I mean, so we might chalk it up to youth or immaturity or what, but that is certainly a concern. And I don't know how to project that into what his defense is. He clearly has defensive skills. He's skinny, which is a problem, but the effort is the big deal right now when we talk about how he's playing.
What scares me with him is, like, we don't know if the shot's going to be there. He's going to take it. We don't know. Probably not going to be a great NBA three. He might be a willing NBA 3-point shooter, but not a great one.
31% shooter who takes eight a game.
Yeah, is the
absolutely
finishing.
That's feasible.
The Ethan videos I watched of him scared me a lot of just not finishing through contact. In fact, seems to shy away from contact. And if you're 6'7" or whatever he is and you're a 31% 3-point shooter, I want you to finish. I want you to need to finish. I want you to have to finish. Like, Steph could always finish, right? I mean, that's just one thing he's got. And Ginobili, who is a name I brought up, I'm just trying to think of a guy who can get through into the lane, can make creative passes, but also the defense has to defend him because he can finish. I'm not sure Ball is that guy. And maybe I can make that declaration when he's 19, or maybe I can't. But that worries me about him. I get the passing, the playmaking, the vision, the length, the non-3-point shooting, reliable, and the inability to finish scares me. Like, I just don't, like, at some point Rubio was limited because he couldn't shoot. And I worry that LaMelo Ball is going to be an effective NBA player, but there will be a ceiling on him because he doesn't, both of those two things. He doesn't shoot above 34% from three, and he doesn't finish. There's my spiel on him.
I think those are real. I think, like, his shooting is a real question mark. I just don't think general managers go into this like, well, this is who he is now, and we can't develop anything. They're thinking, okay, he doesn't have this, but we can give him, we can work on that. We don't have this, we can work on that. Now, the question is, which things are actually workable and which things are pipe dreams? And that's what you got away. But the idea that who he is at 19 is who will be at 25. Like, Clay couldn't do any of this stuff. None of it. And you know what I'm saying? So at some point, this is what I'm saying about when you look at LaMelo, why he's so, like, enticing. You got a 6'7" guy who can pass, who could dribble, who, like, isn't afraid. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just got that kind of moxie on the court. You know, he's willing to take the shot. I could see people saying, yeah, you know what, man? If you put some new tires on him, put some new rims on him, he might be nice. So the other players, I don't know if you feel that kind of like, I gotta see this dude play. I mean, there's an element of, you know, you just go to YouTube and see who's got the most videos. People like watching Melo. Watching him.
They love Lonzo too, and then Lonzo quickly lost that luster because he just wasn't.
You know why? The shot. Yeah. It's the shot. If you can't shoot.
You got to make the shot again. And then so much.
Got to make the shot.
Yeah, so much is making the shot. Jordan Poole, if he could make 32% of his threes, would be an entirely different player than the way we view
him. We find a way to shade Jordan Poole every pie. Yeah.
that's part of the drinking game as well.
Yeah. Jordan Poole, Jacob Evans. Yeah, bing, bing.
Do you think Sam Presti trades up to get LaMelo?
There you go. One thing I would say about LaMelo, and this would be the argument against him, I think of the three, and we're talking about these top three because this is where the Warriors are. He, to me, has by far of the three the biggest bust potential, the lowest floor. I mean, the guy of the three who I could see 4 years from now being like, wow, that guy went one. You know, he's like almost out of the league. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't also have a high ceiling, maybe just as high as the other two. You know, and that's, to me, the floors pretty clearly are LaMelo has the lowest, Edwards has the second lowest, and Wiseman has the highest floor of the three. He's the safest because, like, at his size and mobility, it's almost a guarantee the guy's at least a rotation center for 14 years. You cannot tell me LaMelo is definitely a rotation guard for the next decade.
I think fit is a question too. Like, I don't think they could get somebody who could just not play for 2 years. And I wonder, where does he fit right now? You know, does he come in and take Kai Bowman's place as like the backup point guard? I also think, you know, one of the big concerns we haven't talked about, but, you know, the whole ball experience and bringing his dad to town, I don't think it's a deterrent. But if you're on the
Steve fits, Kerr has some type of say in this draft room, I assume. Not the final say, but.
You know, you shouldn't totally draft, especially way at the top, based on what you have on your roster. You should just try to get the best player, and I think they're in that position. But I think adding Andrew Wiggins kind of changes. Do you want LaMelo Ball and Andrew Wiggins on the floor a lot together? I mean, that changes who they are. You know, we talk about this team that's, you know, again, when they were at their best.
And they've done this, right, with non-shooters on the floor?
Yeah, and you got these two erratic shooters who aren't known for their defense. Again, we're hearing better things about Wiggins, but they're not known for that. Known for taking plays off, and you're putting two of them on the floor together now, and two of your most talented players are that. That's getting so far away from the Warriors we've known and the Warriors they believe they are. And I would go with Edwards in that same category there. You know, like, man, if he's going to score 25 a game, how many shots is he going to take, guys?
Especially early in his career.
Yeah, he's going to take up so many possessions that could be going to Steph, that could be going to Klay, that could be Draymond working at the top and finding a lane. And instead, it would be, okay, stop, Edwards dribble around six times, and then we figure out what happens. And that's not the Warriors. And especially when you have Wiggins. I could see if you didn't have Wiggins, and you could say, okay, we're going to go 15 possessions a game. It's just going to be this guy. And Wiggins kind of needs to be like that. Well, then you're going to add another guy like that? That's tough for me to see that. And so I would put Edwards there for sure as a possessions eater. LaMelo differently because he passes the ball more. But those are two things. Once you add a Wiggins, and you even before that with D'Angelo, he was one of those guys too. It's just tough to see how that all connects with this Warriors roster at this high a pick.
Who wants to make the argument for Anthony Edwards? Do you want to make it, Mark? We need an argument.
Obviously, it won't be me.
I could. Yeah, I mean, not I me could. Either. All right. Well, the Warriors definitely need a superior athlete, like, period. They need a superior athlete. They could use one on the wing. Like, this is all projecting that Ron Adams and the Warriors system, and he's a willing learner, assuming, like, they can work on his defense. He can be a guy who's so athletic that you can put him on some of the better guys. That's a body that, especially 2-3 years down the line, if he's developed and he understands the Warriors scheme, you could throw him at players because he's that exceptional athletically. And they just don't have that. They don't have that in the backcourt. It's tough to think the last time they had it, like, unless if you're counting
Wiggins,
Kevin Durant, the backcourt. Yeah,
you got to count Wiggins.
That's what I was. I'm thinking like guards, like not really threes. Yeah. But if you put that three on the wing, yeah, that's probably Andre Iguodala. Yeah,
younger Andre for sure.
Yeah, they don't have a dude who could one dribble explode, right? Or in transition, like, the defender's at a disadvantage because he is just athletically inferior to who the Warriors got coming down. Like, That is something they just, they don't have, they haven't had it, and they actually need it, and they've been needing it. So when you look at these backcourt players, like, the way they walked away from Anthony Edwards was like, yo, this dude is a beast. He's a monster. Now, I think what Slater said was actually quite prophetic. It might come down to who Steve Kerr likes the least,
dislikes the least.
So it might be like, yeah, Steve Kerr, and with Kerr, who knows what that is? He just might say, yeah, this guy can pass. I want to pass it, right? Or we need some athleticism. But the case for Edwards is to really athletically improve your backcourt, to give you a guy who could be, if he's engaged and locked in, a good perimeter defender and a dude with some bounce and some explosiveness. You know, the Thunder used to run this play, Slater, you know this play, right? And it will alternate between Kevin Durant or Westbrook, but they be in a corner, they run the action to the right, and that guy in the corner will sneak back door and catch the lob. And I'll see Kevin Durant throw this lob to Westbrook, you know, and Westbrook would come out seemingly out of nowhere and dunk it.
I just hear Brian Davis talking as you say that, though, like, the rattlesnake jam.
Like, the Warriors, when the Warriors had a guy like that, I mean, they do have, like, Andre could finish that Draymond 3-on-2, you know what I'm saying, or 4-on-3 where he throw the lob. Like, Andre could do that, but who's coming, like, backdoor out of nowhere? I think Edwards could be that guy. Is that enough? I don't know, but that's my pitch for him.
You guys watch that televised workout, by the way? The clutch workout?
I flipped it on and it was so boring. I just couldn't really do it. And it was so manufactured.
It was manufactured. It was TV. But I did think, man, he doesn't look as explosive as I thought I'd heard.
He was 50% on two-point shots. I mean, he got fouled a little bit. I think I'm not looking at it, but maybe at around 5 free throws a game. But he did not score with efficiency. You know, the athleticism that was there did not translate to getting easy buckets. And I mean, he got some steals, but he didn't rack them up.
I mean, even at Georgia, it only popped up like every now and then, right? Like every
37
now and
on
then,
Michigan
play.
State. 37 on
yeah, it'd
Michigan
be like
State
every now and then he'd have this play where you're like, yo, this dude is next level. But it wasn't like you could see it in his bounce, like in his walk. That's the weird
What's
part.
The comp? Like, what are we talking about when we talk about him? Are we talking about John Wall? I mean, what do we...
No, that's not John Wall.
John Wall can pass. He didn't pass either. That's the thing.
Yeah. He's not that kind of athlete. He, you know,
didn't
he's
pass,
thicker.
Didn't
he's
guard, didn't that. Shoot. I mean, that's kind of... I know he's a freshman. I know you can be wrong on these things when a guy is so young.
Marcus, how about this? How about Rodney Stuckey?
Rodney Stuckey. About, I was thinking
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I was
that's,
thinking
that's
it.
My comp for him.
The big, you know, body, strong yes, guard. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And yeah, Donovan Mitchell would be high.
Oladipo.
Yeah. Oh, not that kind of passer. Not that kind of passer.
Like, you see him say he wants to be Dwayne Wade, huh?
Yeah. it's a scorer, score, make a shot, you know, create a shot, maybe pass it to, you know, but it's, I think he really looks to me like a six man, you know, and there's very, very valuable six men in the league, but. And so maybe he closes for you.
Including one you want to put in the Hall of Fame.
Which is who? Which one?
Andre.
Andre. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, but he's a very different six man than Andre. But he's a guy when your top scorers are resting, he goes, gets 15 possessions. He's not one of your top guys, but he's your third guy. There's value in that. I don't know if there's great value in that for the Warriors, though, because they got some guys that they want to use all the possessions, and they could use a complimentary guy and not someone you just have to stop the offense and say, you go ahead. I mean, Steph's going to play 36 minutes, so that's 12 minutes where the guy is going to be the number one offense scorer if he's very good. This is where I have
He'll
some
be off the ball anyway, so it's all good.
Yeah. He'll be standing in the corner and say, okay, once you're done over there, you can get it to me.
Tim has previously made the best argument for Edwards, which is 5 years from now, he's the best player for this draft.
Yes.
Five years from now, he's the one that gets the max.
I think it's most likely to be the guy who gets the max in 5 years. Yes, I agree with that.
The Donovan Mitchell comp's interesting. You know, I'd forgotten that Donovan Mitchell had only shot 40%, near 41% from the field as a sophomore at Louisville before getting picked. So I guess there's hope. There is hope for that Edwards projection. It's a situation where you just wish that he had done better. If he had done better, it would be an easier choice. It'd be an easier decision. But part of me just feels, I know this isn't the most pragmatic view, but if you're going to take a risk like this, you might as well have it be fun and go ball. you know?
Well, here's what, let me add another layer to that thing I said about, you know, in 5 years, he's probably going to be the guy most likely to get a max contract. That's the way I phrased it. Is it, you know, in the post-Curry era, which we're talking 4 or 5 years, so let's just be safe on that, he's the one who's most likely to be out of this draft. It's like, okay, you can, this is a feature player. But how good are you if Anthony Edwards is your feature player ever? That's the problem I have with it. Like, you know, there's a whole lot of mediocre teams that have pretty good number one offensive threats, and they're not very good overall as a team.
I mean, Wiggins got a max, right?
Exactly. It's like he's that kind of player. He's into that. He's a guy the Kings would end up giving a max contract. That's what I think about. You know, like, he's a guy the Pistons would end up giving a max contract. Is he a guy that would fit into a winning, the, you know, a Heat? Would he be the guy the Heat give a max contract to? No. That's my feeling on him. Now, that doesn't mean I think the other guys are that, but I think Edwards is just a guy who's going to get you some points. He's going to hold you together. He's not Corey Maggette, but I see some Maggette in him. There's going to be numbers, and then you're going to go, what does it really mean at the end? That's my feeling on him.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I think with him and Ball, one of the big questions, especially for the Warriors, is how would they handle not being the guy and not getting the ball like they want. I think that's a huge consideration because, you know, you walk into the Warriors, it's just not happening. Like, it's not happening. You feel like Wiseman, that's an easier sell because he's a big dude and it's like, yo, you get your touches when we
catch
give them to you.
Get rebounds.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, if you're LaMelo and you got 15 minutes off the bench and you got to run the offense and this is not going to be your show, how does he handle that? If you're Anthony Edwards, how do you handle it? Even like Pascal, like, you know, like he got that rare opportunity to just be the man, right? Like 25 shots a game. Like from what we know of him, he'll handle it fine, but it's going to be a transition. They kind of have to read that because people are just, life is different playing next to Stephen Clay. And we've seen a lot of guys not handle it well.
Yeah. The other part to go off that, and this is the term of the week here, transition of power. It's not going to be 2 years of Steph Curry and then suddenly you're the man. Like, Steph Curry is going to be the man for the Warriors for, what are we all guessing, at least the next 4 to 5 years, at least. And
well, he's going to sign another contract in a couple of years, you would think, and that contract's not going to be a minimum deal. So
this isn't Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua, you know. This isn't like, hey, come in and yeah, it's going to be Curry, but you know, we're going to kind of shift it towards you and you're going to take the franchise. Like, I do think they need to find the next franchise superstar, but this is still Steph Curry's show for a while. Longer than these young top three prospects, you know, particularly guards, as we're mentioning, typically want. And that's, again, I mean, we can move to the Wiseman portion of this. We don't really have to go too deep into it because I think we're all continually come to more of an agreement that he seems like
Ethan,
the obvious pick.
Ethan, now you're the last one on board.
Are we 4 or 4 here, Ethan?
I'm on the Wiseman wagon. I mean, look, they're not going to try my crazy Killian Hayes gambit. I know that. I can see that. So in the realm of realistic possibilities, Wiseman wagon sounds fairly safe. It sounds highest floor or whatever.
High ceiling, too. It's a high floor, but I think there's not as much a discussion about the ceiling is there. I mean, the defensive player of the year potential. I'm not saying he's going to be, but like, you know, would you absolutely stunned if this guy's in the defensive player of the year conversation 6 years from now?
Caveats abound because we really didn't get to see anything from him at all.
But it's not like we saw anything much out of all these other guys. LaMelo Ball's Australia tape, Anthony Edwards at Georgia. Like,
better check out that social media. James Edwards jumpers.
If we're going off tape, they should take Obi Toppin.
I was going to raise the Obi Toppin possibility because that's an interesting one. It's a little out of the box. These guys we're talking about right now, they're all imaginarily great. They didn't do it, you know? LaMelo Ball didn't do it. I know people like his highlights, but his stats out in Australia, not great. Bad efficiency. I think in, 48% true shooting out there? Anthony Edwards did not score with efficiency. Wiseman, maybe he would have done it, but he didn't get to play that season, so we don't know. Obi Toppin was the best offensive player in college basketball, and I don't think it's close. I don't think it's close at all. I don't think anybody got there. Now, does he have deficiencies and downsides? Yeah, he runs a little herky-jerky. It's not totally clear what his position is, but you're looking at a guy who can pick and pop, he can shoot the three, and he can finish lobs and would fit seamlessly, at least offensively, it would appear, with Steph and Clay and on those ball screens. And it would be obvious what he would be doing from day one. So I think the Obi Toppin scenario might be an underrated scenario and might require some more consideration.
We're talking about guys who at best are going to come in taking a backseat role, right? A supporter role. And Obi Toppin might be one of them dudes who dropped 20 a game off out the gate. And everybody's going to be like, why you didn't take Obi Toppin? Like, while Anthony Edwards is on the bench.
If he gets minutes and opportunities like we assume he's going to get, I mean, he might be the rookie of the year favorite.
But here's a question. Is he definitely, no question, better than Eric Paschal?
He overlaps too much with him.
I know. He is better, but he isn't that much better. You know, that's the problem I have with it is... Like, you got one of those guys, and you've got Draymond plays that position, too.
I would say he's more offensively talented than Eric Paschal. I would say
yes,
that.
Yes, I'd agree with that, but, you know, we've seen Paschal do it in the league, and we've seen it Paschal be okay defensively already, so which we don't know about Toppin. So I just have a problem with that major overlap, and you know, God bless Paschal, but we know there's a ceiling to him, and there's a ceiling to Toppin. And then if you start doing that with a number two overall pick, you know, then you really, and you know, and Wiggins you acquired and there's a ceiling to him. And then you all of a sudden you got all these ceilings on a team that needs kind of top end talents. And like as Marcus is saying, you know, somebody who just looks the part of a top end elite player to take him to lift up what they got now and to be better when, you know, when their top guys have moved on.
The overlap concerns me. It certainly does. And it also concerns me that Toppin averaged about a steal a game and 1.2 blocks. You want more than that defensively when you're taking a draft pick at that position. And so those are the downsides. But I would say if that was two steals and two blocks, I would say no-brainer, take Toppin. That's really what's making me hesitate in saying take Toppin or those stats. And his wingspan, we're in this goofy zone where we haven't had a combine and we don't know. It's like, according to rumor, it seems to be between 7'2" and 7'4".
Yeah, we don't know how tall Anthony Edwards is.
Yeah, yeah, we don't. It's like the mystery of the NBA. Now, the Warriors know because I think they measure these guys when they work out with them.
I think they had the combine already, right? They just had it virtually.
And not too many guys showed up and whatnot. But yeah, I would say take Toppin, no-brainer, if those metrics, which do seem to be important, you know, they are measures of athleticism in a way. If those are a little higher, I would say do it just because, I mean, it's the full offensive package. He's got the post game. He does pass. He is a rim runner. And that shot from three is nice. I think, God, what did he shoot from three? It wasn't anything amazing, but, oh, yeah, it was 39%. You know, I just wonder because he's a little bit older and a little bit shorter than you would want from a big, and he played at Dayton. I do wonder if he is the unheralded guy. He's the guy who will fall, and people say, why the hell did he fall? Because unlike these other guys, he did do it. He did do it at a high level.
He's going to make people wonder why he fell if he falls. No question.
He's that kind of player. No question.
If the Warriors stay at two, but they reach out of this widely agreed upon top three, I actually don't think it'll be top. And I think we all get the sense it would probably be Avdija, who they do like, we all know. But when Steph Curry gets hurt, they assume they're going to be in the lottery. They spend all year scouting all the lottery picks. But I don't, you know, particularly early on, the expectation wasn't, oh, they're definitely going to be like the worst team in basketball. It was probably like, yeah, they might be heading for the seventh worst record and like a seventh pick, eighth pick. I feel like they really scouted those like mid-lottery guys, the Halliburtons. I know for a fact that they like Okoro, we've talked about. But the interesting thing is they've now been plugged into this two where there's a lot of guys they really like, but it just would be such a reach at two. Do we all think that if they do reach, it would be Avdija? And how likely do you think it is that they go out of this top three?
Avdija's another one of those guys where it's imaginarily, which I'm not even sure is a word, imaginarily great. He's another guy where he didn't really do it at a top level. And everyone says it's almost like with a band where they say, did you check out their old work? Did you check out that album that didn't go platinum that they recorded in the garage? And it's like that with the Israeli league. You say, hey, I looked at Avdija in EuroLeague and he could barely get off the bench. And people go, oh, you have to see the Israeli league stuff. And fair enough, but man, is that a risk. When you're taking a guy who didn't do it at the EuroLeague level, but he did it in Israel, which isn't even, I think, a top 10 league in the world, that would be quite the risk. I mean, he would have had to blow them away beyond what could even be imagined, beyond what Yan Leon did to that chair for the Warriors to pick him that high. I mean, that's just my take off the bat, as intriguing a talent as he might be.
You know them, they kind of like the creative picks, so that's why I would say Avdija would be the out. Like, if Wiseman's off the board, they're staring at Ball and Edwards, and they're not in love with that, and like they can't make a trade down. I think they clearly would want to trade down at that point. No matter what, they want to trade down, but if Wiseman's off the board, I just feel Avdija because he's just a kind of a more mysterious, kind of cool pick, and I do see, you know, you see teams kind of moving that way. But yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. What would he look like on the court? I mean, would he look like Smile Geach, or would he look like, you know, I don't know.
Joe Ingles was the comp that I was given, and it was just such a, but that might just show the difference in how the Europeans and Israelis view the game of basketball. Maybe Joe Ingles is considered,
if Joe Ingles was in this draft right now, where does he go? Like knowing what you know about Joe Ingles' career, he goes like 11th,
10th,
maybe?
Yeah, 10th. I was going to say 10th, 11th.
Here's an exercise. Let's get our comps down with all these guys, because maybe that alters, the comps are never perfect, but maybe that alters how we perceive things and organizes a little bit. I think James Wiseman, what do we say? A Chris Bosh? Is that what we're going for?
Chris Bosh is the absolute high
level. Let's go optimistic. Let's go optimistic with these things. Okay. LaMelo. Man, that one, you got to choose one guy for LaMelo.
Not Jason Kidd. I mean, I said Ginobili. You guys don't agree with me, but that's the one I got for him.
Ginobili,
Lonzo with the jumper. No.
I like Ginobili.
Yeah, I mean, Ginobili's incredible. It fits for me, just the eye for me on that one, but go ahead.
Anthony Edwards, I struggle with that one. I don't know.
I mean, if we're going Rodney high ceiling, Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Good job. Okay, and then Toppin, I think Amari Stoudemire. That's the...
Oh, he doesn't have that athleticism, though.
Jeez.
Come on now.
He's dunking on people like that?
Let me tell you some of Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin has had a breakaway between the leg dunks on fast breaks. He's got some athleticism.
Yeah, but that's different than Amari Stoudemire.
Strauss going to be calling for Toppin by draft night, I think.
Talking myself at the top. Hey, we're shading it optimistic with these comps, right? If you can give me something better for Toppin right now, then go right ahead. I'm not saying he's going
to... I mean, we did say Chris Bosh on James Wiseman, so we are being pretty bold here.
Yeah. So Toppin, Amare. I'm going Amare. And I'm not saying that's him, but, you know, I think... But then we get to Avdija.
TK's going David Lee, clearly.
Then we go to Avdija.
Toppin.
Then we go to Avdija and it's Joe Ingles. I don't know.
I heard somebody say Dario Saric.
Yeah, I said. I looked at him. Yeah, I looked at him. I saw Saric, and I like Saric, so I kind of like that.
But that's
one.
Not a second pick.
Yeah, no, not a second pick though. Not a second pick. Yeah, if it's Joe Ingles
I'm going with Turkoglu. I'm going with Hedo Turkoglu.
Ooh,
yeah. He's got.
I mean,
Hedo can
shoot. Not the shooter. Yeah, not the shooter, but I like the comp. I like
his mid range though, and you know. I do like that mid-range.
Well, I'm always biased to Turkoglu because he drove the Lakers crazy in those great early years. And like, that just, like, it just hit in my stuck in my head, like the combo 6'10" kind of can shoot the three and can get to the rim. Those are interesting players. I don't think Avish is that, but if you're going to tell me Turkoglu, I mean, I don't think that's worth a two either, but I'm interested in that. I'm definitely interested in that. And I got to think of somebody else for Obi Toppin, because I cannot go with Amari Stoudemire for Obi Toppin.
Say, that's the cop. That's the cop people say. That's what SVP said when he interviewed him. It's no guarantee he's going to be that guy, but I might be a little more bullish on Toppin. I really like Toppin's game. I like it. I fear the defensive limitations.
Man, he's good. But he's going to produce. He is going to produce at the NBA level. It's just, you know, will he win?
And Stoudemire was 3 years in the NBA at age 22, by the way, also. But
yeah.
Last topic I wanted before we head out of here. Is there any other scenario that has caught your eye that you think is a good possibility that, you know, and I'm talking about a trade down where you get a rotation player and you also still get the 10th pick or whatever.
Let me tell you about a man named Killian Hayes. No.
Where do you think he's going to go? Like 7-8 probably? Like
that sounds about right. I thought he was getting some real momentum because people were tuning into those games in Germany and were watching him, and he was really picking up some steam and making some plays, and then everything stopped. And so to me,
you know who's taking his shine? That Patrick Williams guy from Florida State.
Yeah.
Like he seems to be rising up the boards.
Both those guys, I have no idea with both the wings out of Florida State how good they are, where they should go. It's, obviously, Williams is the less polished one, but the one with more athletic potential. But it's another one of those, you're projecting it, you're imagining it, and I don't know if I've seen enough. I mean, he is like prototypical athletic wing. Defensively, especially, and so there's something there. I wouldn't dismiss it, I guess is what I'm saying.
I see that one. Hollinger threw that Bulls trade proposal out there. I hadn't even thought anything like that.
Well, I would be surprised Chicago would do that. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Wendell Carter guy, but he's not a bad. I mean, he would fit with the Warriors. He'd play five with the Warriors, and you know, could scrape up some rebounds, could be a little bit of a you know, pick and dive guy, take some minutes at the 4-2, and if they could pick him up and get the four,
and they could draft back two slots,
yeah, and get Avija or Toppin, or those guys at four, that Okoro, I guess Halliburton's way above Okoro now. I like Okoro better.
Well, you get your choice basically. Yeah. the appeal, if you go to four, you get your choice of anybody
in that second tier. Yeah, in that second tier. And I like that. I don't know if that's possible, but I like that move for them. If they could do that, I think they would be having a very nice night. Very nice.
Patrick Williams, I mean, what concerns me is he played 22 minutes a game in the ACC. You know, how quickly am I taking you from 22 minutes a game in the ACC to making an NBA contribution for a contender? That seems like that's a long bridge to cross. So that's one thing that.
But you're ready to put Killian Hayes right in there?
Hey, Killian Hayes is like the lead guard of his team in a league that's better than the ACC. So I'm just saying, I know Nate Duncan is killing his right hand, and that also gives me some pause. But this is a draft of flaws right here. You know, there's no sure thing on the board, which is why it's so interesting to discuss.
I say trade the 2021 Timberwolves pick. I love that idea now. And the more I think about it, like your teams are betting on the come on that, and the Warriors can get something for it. And, you know, you don't know what it's going to end up. You get something solid for it. You use your two, or you move back to the four, and you have a young veteran that way and the pick this season. It's not terrible.
Unless you got a sparkling deal right now, I'd hold off because, you know, I think Bradley Beal might be available at the deadline. I think, you know, we talk about some of these other stars who might come available. And what if the Wolves start the year 10-30 and then suddenly you're like dangling that thing?
And I would sell them because they are perceived, I think, as better than they are because they're more offensive than defensive. And we always forget about defense. But their defense, I mean, their defense has got to be. They've got Towns and Russell, you know?
And maybe LaMelo Ball. That'd be all great.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, Anthony Edwards, too.
We're over an hour now, so I'm gonna end this thing. But next week, we're not only talking draft preview, we got to talk free agent preview, entire offseason preview.
Oh, it's coming back.
next week, all of it is going down next week. I mean, it's like, I think Wednesday is draft Friday, I believe, Friday night or 3 p.m. our time, I believe, is free agency.
And but they can't sign until the 22nd, right? There's still that moratorium.
Yeah, but you know,
but the deals will be breaking. Yeah, deals will be breaking. Yeah, no question.
Big time. So, yeah, the Warriors, really two podcasts from now, we'll be talking about the Warriors roster, which, you know, we've theoretically, you know, talked about for 8 months now, but you know, it's gonna come together. So
let's take some time off. Let's wave it all off. Who cares about stuff actually happening?
Let's take
We're gonna have podcasts.
Talk to you all next Tuesday.
See ya.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.